ਉਜੀ ਦਾ ਦਿਨਾ ਯੰਬਾ ਯੰਦੀ ਦਾ ਠਵਾ ਨੰਬਾ ਸੰਜੀ ਗੋਨੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਦਾ ਠਿਵੇ ਕਬਲਾ ਹਾਤਾ ਤੇ ਤੀ ਕਬਦਾ ਜਰਨ ਜੀ ਯੋਨ ਜੀ ਚੁ ਨੰਬਾ ਟੂ ਜੀ ਗੋਨੀ ਦਾ ਮਰ ਜੋਂ ਗੋ ਸੀ ਜੀ ਦੀ ਤੀ ਯੰਬਾ ਯੰਦੀ ਦਾ ਤੀ ਨੰਗ ਤੰਬੋ ਸੰਜੀ ਸੰਬੋ ਜੇ ਨੰਬਾ ਯੋ ਦੀ ਉਦਨ ਨਾ ਕੋਂ ਦੂ ਨੇ ਦਾ ਦੰਦਾ ਗੋ ਦੀ ਟੂ ਚੋ ਉਹ ਦੇ ਕੋਂ ਸੀ ਨੰ ਦ ਤਰ ਦੀ ਸੀ ਸੰਜੀ ਸੰਬੋ ਸ਼ੇਬਾ ਸ਼ੋ ਬਾਨਨ ਦੀ ਵਰ ਸ਼ੇਬਾ ਸੀ ਉਦਨ ਨੰ ਦੀ ਸੀ ਕੋ ਚੇਚੂ ਯੰਬਾ ਯੰਦੂ ਜੇਂ ਸੀ ਮੈਂ ਤੱਕ ਯੁਵਾਰੀ ਤਾ ਦੀ ਯੋ ਉਹ ਦੇ ਕਰ ਰੇ ਸੇ ਨਾ ਜੀ ਹਬਾ ਸੰਬੋ ਤਾ ਥਰਮ ਹਬਾ ਥਰਮ ਜੀ ਲਾਵਾ ਹਬਾ ਦਿੰਗੇ ਦਿਨ ਜੀ ਲਾਵਾ ਹਬਾ ਸ਼ਰਫ ਜੀ ਲਾਵਾ ਸੰਬੋ ਦੀ ਸਮਦਾ ਦੀ ਗੋਣਾ ਮਜੀਬ ਜ਼ੋਂ ਸੀ ਜੀ ਦੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਯੋ ਉਹ ਦੀ ਦੀ ਗੁਣ ਦੀ ਸੰਜੀਬ ਸੰਬੋ ਮਾਰਾ ਦੀ ਵਰ ਜੀ ਬੋ ਜੇਂ ਤਬ ਚੂ ਯੰਬਾ ਯੰਦੂ ਉਹਦਾ ਜੇਂ ਨੰਬਾ ਜੀ ਸੀ ਜੀ ਦੀ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਯੰਦੀ ਸੋ
ਲੈਟਸ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਦ ਫਰਸਟ ਗਰੁੱਪ ਵੀ ਕਾਲ ਦਮ ਦ ਫੋਰ ornaments because they are qualities that beautify the bodhisattvas. And these qualities actually have to do with the three higher trainings. They have to do with the training of ethics, the training of concentration, the training of wisdom. And on top of that, we actually have retention. And retention here is understood as not forgetting the practice, the advice, the focus.
ਉਜੀ ਦਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਯੰਬਾ ਯੰਦੂ ਉਜੂ ਦਾ ਜੇ ਨੰਬਰ ਜਿਦ ਦਾ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਜੀ ਜੀ ਦਾ ਦਿਨੀ ਨਵਾਂ ਨੰਬਰ ਜੀਬੂ ਦੀ ਦਾ ਦਿਓ ਜੇ ਨੰਬਰ ਜੀ ਆਉਣੀ ਉਜੂ ਜ਼ੋਂ ਦੀ ਜ਼ੋਂ ਜੂ ਸੰਬ ਉਦਾ ਜੇ ਨੰਬਰ ਜਿਦ ਦਾ ਹੋਸ ਦਿਨੀ ਦਾ ਤੰਬ ਚੁਜੀ ਉਜੂ ਤੰਬ ਰੀ ਦਾ ਦਿੰ ਬਈ ਤੰਬ ਚੁਜੀ ਨਵਾਂ ਤੋ ਜਾਂ ਤਮੇ ਕ ਮੰਬਾ ਦਾ ਡਰਵੀ ਚੁਜੀ ਕੋ ਛੰਦ ਸਰਵਰ ਸੀ ਬਾਸੀ ਉਜੂ ਦਾ ਚੁਜੀ ਨਵਾਂ ਚੁਰਾ ਦੇ ਨੰਜੀ ਕ ਛਰਬ ਕ ਗੁਨੀ ਜੀ ਨੀਲਗ ਦਾ ਕੋਨ ਜੀ ਦੱਦ ਦਿੰਬੈ ਨੀ ਜੀ ਨੀਲਗ ਦੇ ਸੋਸਰ ਮਾਰਨ ਜੀ ਨ ਤਮੇ ਕ ਮੰਬਾ ਦਾ ਡਰਵੀ ਚੁਜੀ ਕੋ ਛੰਦ ਸਰਵਰ ਸੀ ਬਾ ਉਜੂ ਸਰਵਰ ਸੀ ਜੀ ਦੇ ਕਰ ਰੇ ਸੇ ਨਾ ਦਾ ਟੈਂਬ ਨਵਾਂ ਉਜਾ ਮਜੀਬ ਟੈਂਬ ਛਰਬ ਸੀ ਜੀ ਟੈਂਬ ਨਵਾਂ ਟੈਂਬ ਦਾ ਸੀ ਟੈਂਬ ਨਵਾਂ ਲੁਡੂ ਜੀ ਨਵਾਂ ਨੀਵਾ ਤਬ ਨਵਾਂ ਚੁਜੀ ਨਵਾਂ ਸ਼ਿਵੇ ਨਵਾਂ ਉਹਦਾ ਦਿੰਬ ਨੀ ਨਵਾਂ ਮੰਬਰ ਸ਼ਿਵੇ ਨਵਾਂ ਦਾ ਡਿਬੀ ਡਿਬ ਨਵਾਂ ਦੀ ਸ਼ੌਂਜੂ ਸੰਬ ਨਵਾਂ ਨੰਬਰ ਜੀ ਸੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਨਵਾਂ ਨੰਬਰ ਜਿਬੂਦੀ ਤਿੰਨੇ ਜਿੰਨੇ ਜਾਂ
Now we're coming to the second group that was saying it had to do with a group of the eight types of illumination. And when we talk about illumination, the text here says that we're talking about understanding of the Dharma that allows them to illuminate the ignorance or the darkness, the confusion that is associated with that. So by separating oneself from this confusion, one experiences this illumination, this understanding of the Dharma. The first one is recollection. The second one is intelligence. The third one is realization. The fourth one is Dharma. The fifth one is knowledge. The sixth one is truth. The seventh one is comprehension. And the eighth one is accomplishment. Or practice. So these are the eight types of illumination.
ਉਹ ਜਿੱਦਾਂ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਤਾਂ ਨਵਾਂ ਨੰਬਰ ਜੀ ਜੀ ਦਾਦੀ ਆਉਣੀ ਤਾਂ ਨਿੰ ਜੀ ਚੰਬੋ ਚਿੱਟੂ ਸੱਜੇ ਦੀ ਦਾ ਜੀ ਕਰ ਸਕੋ ਕੰਗਰ ਮੁਕਸਰ ਜੀ ਛੇਟਵਾ ਰੀਰੀ ਲਾ ਮੁਨ ਉਹ ਜਿੱਦਾਂ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਗੋ ਮਰ ਨਿੰ ਜੀ ਚੰਬੋ ਚਿੱਟੂ ਕੋ ਦੇ ਕਰ ਰੇ ਸਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਨਵਾਂ ਨੰਬਰ ਜੀ ਪੂ ਆਉਣੀ ਮਰ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਜਿੰਨੀ ဒီတဘာနာသဘာတော်စီတဘာဒီတဘာဒီတဘာရောင်းတဘာရနံဒီကရီဒီကျူတဘာရောင်းတဘာမန်တင်ကိုတင်တဲ့ကတဘာနံပါနာနာသဘာတော်စီကျူဟိုကျူတေလာမနီညင်ကြီးကျူအရင်ပြင်ပရင်သူတတိတောင်ပို့တော်ဟိုကျူတတိနီရှင်ကျလောက်ရေတော်စီရှင်ကျလောက်ရပါတိဟိုတဲ့ညွေးရင်တင်တန်ဒီရှင်ကျလောက်တန်ဒီရှင်ကျလောက်ရဝတိတင်ကိုယူပါရီ
Right. Now, we continue now with the next group, which is the group of the 16 types of great compassion. First of all, it says that it has to do great, that it is great compassion that is directed towards various views. And here, when it says various views, it means various wrong views. All right. So compassion towards those who have wrong views. The second one is compassion towards those that have the four mistakes. And when we talk about the four mistakes, is first of all conceiving that which is impermanent to be permanent. The second one is conceiving that which has the nature of suffering to be pleasurable. The third one is conceiving that which is selfless to have a self. And the fourth one is conceiving that which is impure to be totally pure. So there are four types of misconceptions. Compassion is generated towards those who have such views.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်ပရင်သူတဲ့ညင်ကြည်ကြည်တို့ကနော်ဒီတောင်ပတ်တဝနာသဘာဝနိညင်ကြည်ကြည်ဟာဟုတ်ကြည်ငါတောက်တဲ့တဝနာသဘာဝငါယင်သဘာဝယင်သူဒါဒီညင်ကြည်ကြည်သက်ကနိသဘာဝဟုတ်တဲ့ဒီနေ့တဝနာသောဒါကြည်တဝနာဘုဒ္ဓဘာတိလာမုနီယောညင်ကြည်ကြည်ဝဒီရင်ပရင်သူဟုတ်ကြည်ဒါဒီနိနိဒါရွာကြည်
Now we continue with the third one, which is compassion towards those who grasp at this at I and mind. So first of all, there is this misconception of the I as being truly existent, and then on the basis of that, one can generate the conception of mind, the things that belong to myself, my house, my car, and so forth. For all those who are having such conceptions, towards all those who are having such conceptions, compassion is generated. That's the third type of compassion. The fourth one is compassion towards those who possess the five types of obscurations. Now, when we talk about the five types of obscurations, there are probably these five types of obscurations that are also mentioned within the Kalachakra Sadhana. It's one of our commitments to abandon the five types of obscurations. And those are lethargy, sleep, excitement, mental thinking, and doubt. It comes actually in the sadhana of the sixth session Guru Yoga of the Kalachakra. It says I will abandon lethargy and sleep and so forth. There's a line in that.
Now
we come to the fifth one, which is compassion towards those who have attachment towards the sense bases and the objects of those sense bases. So when we talk about the sense bases, we talk about the sense base of eye awareness, ear awareness, nose awareness, tongue awareness, tactile awareness, and mental awareness. And each one of those, of course, is associated with a particular object. Whoever has attachment towards those is considered to be an object of compassion.
Now,
The sixth point is compassion towards those who possess the seven types of pride. And Rinpoche says it's a long list. I'm sure, you know, I can look it up somewhere. At the moment, you know, just be satisfied with that. Seven types of pride.
Oji da dinda yinba yindi da ni ni dhubha da. Da dini ni dhamba din bhapu lam ni nyamba. Oji yin bhapu lam ni jiki da nyamcha tori nro diwa tso lam ni nji jiwa yindu di ni dhamba.
The seventh point is compassion towards those who have fallen, who have deteriorated from the Arya path.
Oji da dini da ni jiba di rong me ba da. Oji da ji jikar se go tsoba kola rong yuwa mari gir sozo la ji.
Now the eighth point is compassion towards those who lack control, who lack self-determination. And Rinpoche was saying, and it's very interesting because although you know, you can have very clear occasions of people who lack this self-determination and you can generate compassion towards those. Quite often we might be under the illusion that we have total control of our lives, and it's never like that. There is always some amount of suffering that we are experiencing.
Oji dadi ni jibasan, dadi ako ni gawa di kontrola don dibuli don, da kontrola ya don dibuli sawa di zo, da nyangra mambuji zo iwa yendu tela muni ni jijwa di da ni gawa.
The ninth point is compassion towards those who possess anger and who accumulate negative actions.
Oji dadi ako da ni jibwa di.
The tenth point is compassion towards those who do not have the wisdom of an Arya. So for all those who do not have direct perception of emptiness, compassion is generated.
Oda dini da ni jichiwa di na tender samu mata wadans. Chirdan ji garza go samu tamba nyasa jidi ni tinda masana tambo tambo tanya sarda tawya chi. Tanya tawna yon nantan sandan jirka yuwa mari. Tanya samu tender samu se du na oji nongi tamba la chaushini. Tambi nongba la chaushini. Nantan sandir se jidi mataba yuwa yindu. Tendra go tender samu ni sar jenga samu tamba nyasa mata
We come to the 11th point, which is compassion towards those who do not have realization of subtle interdependence. Now, prior to we had compassion towards those who do not comprehend emptiness. And it's important to understand that actually having an understanding of interdependence is the way that leads you to an understanding of emptiness. So it says here, particularly, you know, having a subtle understanding or an understanding of the subtle point of interdependence. If you lack that, you are an object of compassion.
Oji da dini da ti agni jiniwa di tava ochasiwa di tani tava di yon tava tava mandingi tava ngemba ko tava lamba tinda ko tigo pochasi jadi ne kachila tava ngemba ngonjir de yuari kachila ngonjir de mena yon ti pochasi rawo nishin rawo toko tava ngemba tila bharji thesum rawo sana bharji te insari yesam tava lamba tindo ya ko ni kaiwa yendu oji tava lamba pochasi mapunga namuni niji chigua chingba yendu ni jini.
The 12th point is compassion towards those who have not abandoned the imprints of view. And of course here, view, Rinpoche says, could not possibly be referring to correct view. Rather, it refers to wrong views, mistaken views. So all those who remain in a state of doubt and are probably tending towards accepting wrong views, and they do not make the effort to abandon those imprints of wrong views, all of these beings, they become an object of compassion.
我觉得你已经腻歪了，但第二个你就怎么把这定儿就看到嘛，知道吧？当，我在对你觉得从就从我脑子，就开始说过，嗯，苦瓜隔壁在莫那地方，那么有嘛也是我脑子，我今苦瓜的嘛，主人先把这个定儿给苦闻着我的，都要没定义，我在定儿那么你就觉得你就怎么？
We come to the 13th point, which is compassion towards those who have not been free, or they are not separated from the experience of suffering. And as we have mentioned before, you know, as long as you remain within cyclic existence, it is as if you are sitting at the tip of a needle, so which indicates that as long as you remain within cyclic existence, you will experience suffering. For all those who have not been separated, who are not free from the suffering, compassion is generated.
我觉得第二个，嗯，但你就这么就业外地有当俺接了去吧，但你有的有接自己，把这个有俺办着，我觉得那顶着当，俺接了去，俺接了嘛，这个嘛，开始嘛，俺接了，兄弟们等于俺接的用的那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那那
to compassion that is generated towards those who have a deceitful contact, as well as a contact of pride, right? So deceit and pride. Now the 15th is actually compassion that is generated towards sentient beings who have declined, degenerated from their aspiration to achieve this higher rebirth. As we mentioned before, it's very good to have this aspiration to reach the rebirth of a human or a god, because they're good basis for practice. Actually, I'm not sure I interpreted this point correct, the 15th point. I think listening to the way that Rinpoche interpreted the 16th point, I think it refers more to sentient beings who have deteriorated after having reached the higher rebirth, right? So it's not just allowing one's aspiration to reach the higher rebirth, but having reached the higher rebirth and then declining from that. The 16th point is compassion towards those who have fallen from the state of liberation. And Arumsha was saying, of course, you know, there is so much effort and there is so much, suffering before you reach the state of liberation. But it is possible that you reach a certain level where you have these experiences of liberation from suffering, and yet you allow your mind, you allow yourself to fall from that state. And of course, compassion needs to be generated towards those beings who have fallen from that state. So that was actually the last one, the 16th, and the commentary concludes by saying that that these are the 16 types of compassions, different types of compassions that Bodhisattva generates towards generates, since they have the wish to liberate sentient beings from their suffering.
Or that in the
Alright, so Rinpoche says we have actually covered the first three of these four categories. Altogether, as we say, there are 60 types of trainings of the Bodhisattvas. We covered the four ornaments, plus the eight illuminations, which makes a total of 12. And then on top of that, we explained the 16 aspects of compassion. So that was a total of 28. And we have the remaining 32 aspects, which are the physical aspects of the Bodhisattvas. But we will stop the presentation of the session here for tonight.
Lamsabha
Rinpoche was actually asking for a clarification for the last type of compassion, which is compassion towards those who have declined or have fallen from liberation. This is exactly how it is phrased on the commentary. So Lamsabha Rinpoche was asking for a clarification for this point, and Rinpoche replied to that it refers to those who and Rinpoche was describing, you know, how hard and how long the path to liberation is. So there is suffering for all those who are striving, of course, to get there. But more importantly, this particular one refers to those who have allowed the path leading to liberation to decline.
Rinpoche
was making the comment that, of course, there was special intention behind this question that was raised, because it is a technical point. Can someone actually fall from the state of liberation? And even if we talk about the state of an arhat within the lesser vehicle, is it possible that one can decline or not? Rinpoche was saying that once actually you reach the state of liberation, the final state of liberation, you don't fall from that. But it is quite possible that before you reach the final state, your practice or your path declines. You lose the strength, your determination. Excuse me? When we talk about the five paths,
you mean third level at the third Mahayana path? When you say the term liberation, and let's say omniscience, no more learning. But when you say liberation, is it being used in conjunction with the third Mahayana path, meaning you've been liberated? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So the question is, when we use the term liberation here, does it refer to omniscience? That it refers to the Mahayana path? In general, when we talk about liberation, it can be understood as the state of liberation of the of hearers, of solitary realizers, and of the great vehicle. It should be understood in all three levels, all three occasions. We have three types of liberations referring to each one of the vehicles, and also you can say that we have three types of enlightenments. You have the enlightenment of the hearer, the enlightenment of the solitary realizer, and you have the great enlightenment, which is the one the final result of the great vehicle.
Before teaching them from liberation, somebody mentioned also that when you engage in the path to the collection, the merit, and then perish path, you are in the path to liberation. But if you designate it from that, then that's what is then designation from the liberation.
What exactly could Rupche explain what that means? Because my understanding is someone on the Arya path has true cessation, and once that's ceased, you can't fall from that realization.
Pakpe lam ne kanchis nyam yo singires, pakpe lam tona tomba nyengo sum tu toyo resa. Te kabla susu gyuna la gogten toyo resa. Te ne di dogpa kanchis yo singires.
Tandi babu lam ni nyamba se di da ji dir kaji. Babu lam ngoni wa ji tom ne nyam ya de yang ki lengu marwa. Di babu lam toba la ji tobi chachang rogu kab de la nam sang ma toba ji ji tinda yu arwa. Pe na ji gar se ma zi mara ji li ngenba tinda sa sa ga ye na ji kongru ge zan yun ba ta tinda la toba ji sa ga ye na
Yes, that's another interesting point, because again, once you have reached the Arya path, there is no way of declining from that Arya path. So it actually refers to a practitioner who is very close to reaching the Arya path. So you're just before the Arya path. And it is quite possible that due to one's negative karma, one can actually cause the Arya path to delay to be generated in one's continuum. So it says, for example, if you generate a lot of anger, which burns a lot of your root of virtue, that can cause a very long time for the first ground to be generated. So it rather refers to someone just prior to the path of seeing.
On the verse that Rinpoche mentioned the other day about all embodied beings are said to always possess the heart of Buddha, because this is on our page 7 of our translation, because the body of the complete Buddha pervades all. In the Tibetan it says Zoksang Kuni Trochir Dang, and then the succeeding verse, the first line, says Sange Yeshe Semchen Sok Shukchir, because the primordial awareness of the Buddha enters the assembly of sentient beings. These are supposed to be the first reasons why why all sentient beings have potential. I'm just wondering whether this is referring to just the quality of Buddha's mind, because the second one says yeshe, but that seems wrong, because it should also include the enlightened activity of the Buddha's teaching, which is body. How big? What does the Dzogchenge Ku, complete Buddha's body? What does that mean? Pervades all sentient beings. What does that include?
So your question is whether they include, because you mentioned also further on the next paragraph, where it says primordial awareness of the Buddha enters the assembly, right?
So it sort of implies that it's only mental, but Rinpoche has mentioned before that it should include the teaching of the Buddhas, which is speech. I'm just wondering how big a thing that includes.
When we talk about the complete body of the Buddha in this occasion, Rinpoche says, I think mainly we should take it to refer to the speech of the Buddha, because we mentioned before that, again, when we talk about activities of the Buddha, the main one, as far as we are concerned, is the speech of the Buddha, the teaching of the Buddha. But also we can see that in some cases the Buddha can manifest miraculous deeds through his body. So it can also include the body of the Buddha. As for the mind of the Buddha, we don't even need to mention it. It's taken for granted. Now, we actually have a number of quotations that are given in other occasions, in other texts, where they state very clearly that wherever you have the mind of the Buddha at that particular place and time, this place will also be pervaded by the speech of the Buddha, and will also be pervaded by the body of the Buddha. So where you have the mind, you will have the speech and you have the body as well. And in particular, Rinpoche was looking at this division between speech and body, because again, and when we look at the body, we have to understand that it's not a gross body. It will always be a subtle body. And when we look at speech, speech can actually be seen as a type of subtle body, because eventually what the speech is made of, it's wind, right? And the consciousness or the comprehension of the Buddha needs to be always associated with some wind, right? So you will always have the mind, and where you have the mind, you will have the speech as well.
That the
Now, Arusha was saying it's interesting, and of course the different, let's say, studying manuals that you have in different monasteries might differ in their presentation, but when we examine the three realms, we talk about the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. So when we come to the last one, of course in some manuals you would find the presentation that it is called formless because there is no form there. But there are other texts in which it says it is called formless, but that does not mean that there is no form whatsoever. This term describes the lack of gross forms, but as a matter of fact we have subtle form there. And this idea of the subtle form is something that is in accordance with the tantric teachings, where they talk about this union of the very subtle wind and the very subtle mind, that they're always inseparable, and where you find one, you'll find the other.
In Bodh Gaya, many years ago, Rinpoche taught the Uttara Tantra, and he mentioned that the Tathagata Garbha, the emptiness of our defiled mind, eventually became the Noam Miku, the Sabhupikaya, the emptiness of the Buddha's mind, and that the developmental lineage, so that Dzogchen Neyrik became the Noam Miku eventually, and that the developmental lineage became the Rupakaya. But in that same sense of what Rinpoche is saying now, in the Sutra teachings it says the substantial cause of the Rupakaya, or in the Tantric teachings it says the substantial cause of the Rupakaya is the lung, the wind, just as Rinpoche is talking about now. So how could the developmental lineage, which seems to be itself a quality of mind, how could that become the Rupakaya if the substantial cause of Rupakaya is actually the wind?
Sugu drubia ki nyergyu di lung resa. Yang lung ina tanda ngaran su jengkyur ki ri di koran sem ki keche chikrawa, sem res. Yang sem di tone je la mamba la sugu kanche drubsa res.
Deda yongi warwa, jiki kari se go, dosang ni tozi nisri na wu kakari ma tozi,
Well, actually, I do not see any contradiction if you go according to the explanation of Tantra, because when we talk about Tantra, when you examine those things from the point of view of Sutra, they always make the distinction that which is actually Sukh, which is form, cannot be shepa, cannot be awareness. And if you talk about the cause or the continuum of awareness, it always has to be a previous moment of awareness. So you could not possibly have form becoming awareness. But when you come into the presentation of Tantra, then we're talking about a subtle consciousness, subtle mind, which is at the same time subtle form, and there is no contradiction in that presentation.
Oh, kashiga yang yi che kashiga kari yana ma to kashiga jagang gu yuwa ri yuwa ri di di ma ri ji tongba nyi di dan dan da wa songwa na wajin kham di war jaba nyi mbo di drama dan ji di drama dan ji wa kab yin di ngi da drama me bu kab di la wa ji da kar si go ji di ngu ri
Now, as for the first part of your statement, which was saying that the essentially abiding nature will eventually become the identity body of the Buddha. Now, first of all, when we talk about the identity body of the Buddha, definitely we're talking about the emptiness of the mind of the Buddha, right? The emptiness of the mind of the Buddha refers to the emptiness of the mind, which is completely free from all stains. If we examine the potential, which is called the essence of the mind with stains, right? It describes the inherent purity of the state of a sentient being, where it is still at the level where the mind possesses stains, right? As this mind develops, it will become stainless. So the emptiness of the mind with stain will transform in the emptiness of the stainless mind, which is exactly the definition of Ngoniku, which is the identity body. Right, and the last the last thing that Rinpoche said on this point was that you have the mind that realizes this emptiness, right? The mind which comprehends emptiness. So the object and the subject of the mind, they are mixed together like water.
So I didn't really pick it up clearly. I just seem to hook up with the reasoning of the Mwiniku, of the code.
Yeah,
right, so it refers to that point where you have the mind and you have the emptiness of this mind, and eventually these two things will merge together inseparably, like mixing water with water together. And Rinpoche at this point was quoting the Heart Sutra, where it says, "Form is empty, emptiness is no other than form." So this is the point where the mind and the emptiness of the mind will completely fuse together.
Well,
actually, of course, this statement needs to be qualified, because when we continue further down, it says there is no emptiness other than form. Form also is no other than emptiness. It doesn't tell you that emptiness is form. Form, you know, it doesn't make exactly this equation, exactly as the words sound, yeah?
Ori, that didn't intrude the Inje, Karasago,
The term that we need, right? That what we talk about the four bodies of the Buddha, and we keep using this term body, right? The kaya, and in particular when we talk about the ngowenyiku, which is the identity body of the Buddha. Well, we call it body, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a body per se. Now, per definition, body is something which has been composed as a collection of certain things, right, as amassing certain things. But here, when we talk about the identity body, really we're talking about emptiness, right? And emptiness has not been compiled, has not been created out of the accumulation of other things. So although it is called a body, it's not an accumulation of things, it's not something that was created, it's something that existed naturally from the beginning. It refers to emptiness, but it has the name body. Rinpoche before was giving an example, like for example, if you look at the lotus also is known as the water born, that which is born out of the water, but it doesn't mean that everything that is born out of the water or grows out of the water is a lotus, right? So in this way also we talk about something which is called a body, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a collection of things. We stop here for today.
Hello. Sambo Jaya Radha Sambo Jaya Radha